Chevy Summer Drive is back. Right now, get up to $5,000 cash back on a 2004 Chevy. Take delivery by August 31st. See your dealer at GM.com for details.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Austin Amarca joins us, an owner-operator of a service station in Lancaster, California. Mr. Amarca?
Yes, sir.
Listen, the price of gasoline continues to climb, although I think they said it's going to flatten out here pretty soon because production has not dropped and the price of oil, in other words, has not gone up. I wanted to get your take, though, on the, as an owner-operator of a service station, interacting with the community every day, interacting with people who are purchasing gasoline, how much control do you have over the price of gasoline?
Phil, I've got significant control. Remember, I'm at the mercy of the cost of fuel from the refinery, so my raising and lowering prices will reflect what it does cost me. It's like any other business, but I've tried to keep the price of gasoline down during this latest upsurge.
How do you do that?
Well, I've got a lot of long-time customers that I want to take care of. I'm able to keep the price of my fuel low. For instance, our high test right now is at $2.10.
Wow. That's lower than anything I've heard.
I try to do this by high volume. I've got a higher volume because I try not to sell to everybody, so my regular customers and others know there's going to be a steady supply.
Well, now, when you say you don't sell or you try not to sell to everyone, what do you mean?
What I mean is I try to discourage fuel consumption by certain kinds of customers, Phil, both as a public service and as a way of conserving supplies.
What kind of customers?
I try and discourage elderly drivers, and by that I mean those who are, say, above the age of 60 for purchasing fuel because they obviously have been involved in manslaughter-type situations. The elderly drivers we're familiar with their cars, and conversely, I try and discourage young people, say, under the age of 20 from buying fuel because, again, the insurance companies will tell you they are higher risk at causing some kinds of manslaughter. So certain kinds of female drivers, I know many commercial female drivers, and they're some of the best drivers I know, but a lot of these female drivers who are single, they tend to be a little reckless because they don't have the responsibility of a child or a husband, and you see them in their high heels and this kind of thing, and they're always in a hurry. These people can cause a manslaughter kind of situation.
How do you discourage, it's not legal to not sell, how do you discourage a customer who wants to a tank of gas from buying it?
Well, it's a delicate situation. Legally, as you said, Phil, I am bound to sell my product.
Of course.
I've got a young man who works for me and eventually is going to become my partner. He's been with me for 10 years. Probably the best all-around bumper-to-bumper mechanic I know. This young man is also physically rather imposing. He stands about 6'5" and pushes 300 pounds. He's also an African-American.
And did you say African-American, sir?
Yes. His name is... I don't want to give his name, but...
Just give his first name.
His name's Jeffrey.
Okay.
And if we determine there's what we call a level B or an undesirable customer, he will go out there and talk with him. Because I have told him, just convince them that buying gas here would be a waste of time and point out... We have a Thomas Brothers guide. We point out where the nearest gas station is.
All right. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with... Austin Amarca, you do not sell gasoline to certain kinds of drivers, and that enables you to hold on to a high volume. What about handicap drivers?
That is also handicap drivers are a manslaughter deal waiting to happen.
Isn't that kind of the prejudice? See, the statistics very clearly show that handicap drivers are no more likely to cause accidents than people who are fully capable.
Well, sir, you're asking me how do I regulate the cost of fuel. I try and keep it down because I have a higher volume, and I have a higher volume because when a man drives into my service station and he's lowered from his car on a ramp, or the lady's too old and they stand there staring at the pump for a full minute wondering how it works, or they're so young they want to give their daddy's credit card and go out and get gas to drive daddy's car fast, or they're one of these career women with no child or husbands sitting on a cell phone, so when they do sideswipe someone or run over a pedestrian, they aren't liable to find out about it until the cops show up on the doorstep 2 weeks later. I try to keep these people from buying gasoline. But
is that legal?
I'm legally bound.
So when you say you have this young man by the name of Jeffrey, who is an African-American mechanic that works for you and he's a partner?
He is a would-be partner, yes, sir.
Does he go out and intimidate these people?
No, sir. What he says...
Well, when you say that he goes out and he says, look, it wouldn't be a good idea. So a woman pulls into your gas station who is a career woman, and she wants to get a tank of gas. Maybe she's already out of the car, and maybe she's already got the hose out, and she's going to self-serve.
Well, I'll send Jeffrey out there and explain to her that we do we're a neighborhood gas station. It probably wouldn't be a good idea for her to gas up here. If we have a Thomas Brothers guide. If she wants to know where another gas station is, we can point it out to her.
So you're not afraid of sending business to somebody else?
Well, no, sir, because, again, our prices are much lower than anybody else's because of the high volume. But I just don't... what I try to avoid are a lot of these people just pulling into my gas station who I've never seen before, and they just want to walk right up to my pump and buy gasoline. I have to ask, what's that about? You know, and...
All right. I may be one of those guys. Hold on for a minute. Our number, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Austin and Mark are talking about selling only to the neighborhood and not to strangers or handicapped people or these kinds of people. That enables you to hold on to your gas and keep the price low.
And Mr. Henry, the drivers that are safe and should be on the road are the ones I want to sell gas to as well.
Let me ask you, if a stranger pulls into the gas station that you've never seen before, if a man's on a long journey, okay?
Yes, sir.
And the man is in need of gas. Say he's running on fumes.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to say, because you don't know him?
Well, you got to understand it from my point of view. I built this business, along with my brother-in-law, we built this business in 1981. We purchased the initial service station. And I have worked very hard to make this a successful service and filling station for the neighborhood and for the people who live around here. Now, a guy pulls in off a highway and just gets out of his car and walks over to one of my pumps as if he sort of owns the place. That's something that a lot of guys don't take that personally.
And well, should you? I mean, most guys that own service stations will sit there and kind of look through the glass. Here comes a guy who wants gas, right?
Well, that's true. But, again, I don't like it when someone comes into my. I just personally don't like it when someone comes into my business and starts throwing their weight around. Yeah, give me a pack of Marlboros and I'll take 20 on number 3. Generally, I want to ask, well, you know, who are you and what do you, you know, what do you, you know, what makes you think you could just walk in here?
Well, they're coming in to get gasoline.
I understand that, but maybe a little bit of respect should be shown, and especially if, like I say, it's elderly or young. Then I will say, but what I'm asking for is just an acknowledgement that, boy, I've never been in your service station before. It would be really, you know, may I get some gas? Instead of just walking over to the pump like they own the place.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. It's interesting. I've been, Mr. Remark, into a lot of service stations, and I've just walked right in like I own the place. Because it's my assumption that when I pull my car in, I can just get out, grab the pump, put it into the fuel tank, and begin fueling.
I understand that, and that's the impression I guess a lot of owner-operators will give you. But I'm very particular about who I let just waltz right into my place and act like they own the place. Now, if some service owner-operators want to do that, that's fine.
Well, higher volume means lower prices for your customers. And the way you get higher volume is by discouraging certain kinds of customers from buying your gasoline. Again, when you say you don't want to have young people, meaning under the age of 20, old people...
Well, the customers that are not at high risk for manslaughter will keep on coming back to my service station. They know I'm doing a good deed trying to keep the high risks off the road. But if I got some manslaughter risk, like one of these old people, yeah, give me a full tank of gas so I can go out and commit manslaughter, why would I want to do that? And you know, when they train security people at the airport, they say, make sure you check those bags, because how are you going to feel if you let someone on the plane with a bomb and it blows up? Well, I feel the same way about my gasoline. How would I feel about selling gas to a person who goes out and commits manslaughter to a minivan full of children?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Austin Amarca, a owner-operator of a service station in Lancaster, on how he keeps the price of gasoline down. He doesn't sell to just everybody. Here is Katrina. Go ahead, Katrina. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Katrina? Okay, she's gone. Let's take a break, all right? And we'll be right back with Austin Amarca. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The triumph of intelligence over ignorance. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Talking with Austin Amarco. He's a owner-operator of a service station in Lancaster, California. You try to discourage certain people from buying your gasoline. We're at a time where people, obviously, it's very expensive. And because you discourage certain people, you're able to sell a lot to your neighborhood. You recognize all your customers?
I know a lot of my customers, yes, sir. And, I don't discourage everybody, but individuals who look like they're going to go out and get involved in one of these manslaughter deals where I just read the other day where a minivan full of orphans got run right off a road into a freight train that was coming at about, I don't know, you know, these freight trains out in the open country out here in northern L.A. County. They'll get rolling about a good 60, 70 miles an hour, and a minivan full of orphans head on into a full rolling freight train. Who's the guy that sold him the gas? That's what I'd like to know. You find out that these guys that are cruising down here and picking up these prostitutes, these serial murderers, who's the guy that sold them the gas? I don't want to be the guy that sold the gas to someone who went out, picked up 20 different women, murdered them, and got involved in a manslaughter deal. So that's why I try to be picky. But you're right. Legally, I've got to sell to everybody. Absolutely.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show here. Let me go to a phone call, but it sounds to me like you're being rather selective. And you also have an assistant by the name of Jeffrey who is, it sounds intimidating. John, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello, sir?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello. I just want to say this. I happen to drive trucks for a living. And I deliver domestic motor fuel to gas stations. And you know how many people come to your gas station that you may or may not understand?
You deliver the fuel. You don't own the station.
Yeah, certainly. So what you're saying then is I should quit my job because I drop you 6,200 gallons of 92.
Well, how much of that gas? 52?
6,200 gallons per load
okay.
is what I usually
All right.
average per
and
double
how
trailer.
How much of that fuel is used by some guy that's going to go out and murder orphans?
Maybe 14, 20 gallons. You don't even know if he's going to go out or murder orphans. But that's not even the point.
Well,
my point is this. I'm up here in Fresno. I live in Fresno, California. And you know what? You know how many people...
Well, you got blood on your hands, my friend.
I have blood on my hands? I would have blood on my hands if I crashed my tractor trailer. Then I may have blood on my hands.
Yeah, but you're dropping off fuel, and I try to keep you from having blood on your hands by making sure that the guy that buys gasoline from me isn't picking up prostitutes, putting them in the back of a van, and three blocks
Listen, sir, he's got them cut
into 50 different pieces.
Listen, sir, if somebody wants to spend their gas money to pick up a hooker, that's their business.
That's their business.
Okay, so let me ask you a question.
But murder her and cut her up into chunks?
How many friends do you... I bet you have a lot of friends that come into your gas station and probably roll in there drunk. You're up there in the high desert. You're on the drunk. Do you send your big black guy? I happen to be black, and it's really offensive.
Oh, yeah, you sound really black. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's...
Yeah,
the, oh,
yeah.
Oh, I don't...
You are a white boy.
Oh.
But I'll tell you this much. Jeffrey doesn't go out there and...
Well, what's the purpose, son, of your big... You said he happens to be African-American.
It's intimidating to some white people to see a guy like that. And he just says, you know, I'd suggest you move on because we don't want to sell gas to you.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. April, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, as far as him wanting to protect his community, I totally respect that.
Thank you
very
much.
The problem that I have with him is the fact that he does not have the right to deny anyone to purchase anything because I
That's
guarantee
true.
if it was my family that was passing through and I didn't know you from Jimmy Jones, but I would want you to be able to sell to my family. And regardless of what color I am, whether I'm handicapped or whether I am a serial killer, it has no bearing on whether or not you sell me gas. I'm going to do it no matter what.
Ma'am. If I knew you were going to go out and commit a murder with the gasoline in the car that I sold you, I wouldn't sell you that gasoline. And I might save a life. Now,
but you don't have any way of knowing. I mean, first of all, are you discriminating against people of color?
No, sir. No, it's got nothing to do. My partner's black. I'm saying some of these people that are manslaughter risks, like handicapped and these career women and people like that, she's putting her makeup on. She drives and crushes a homeless man under the wheels of her Mercedes and she doesn't even know she did it till she sees it on the nightly news. That's what I'm... April, are you married?
Am I married?
Yes, ma'am.
No, I'm actually recently divorced.
All right, see, that's a problem for me. Because...
Well, why? You wouldn't sell gas to her.
She's probably got her own career. She's got her mind on her business. And these people kill people.
Okay, number one, my mind is on my family. I'm very, very family-oriented, and I respect
your family,
everyone around me.
Is your family handicapped or have any reason to be worried about me selling gas? I'll sell them gas if they're not... If they're not trying to come in and look like they own the place.
No, I mean, that's the thing, is I can respect the fact that you don't want somebody to walk in there and disrespect you and act like you don't, matter.
Yes, ma'am.
But, and I think that's common courtesy.
Can I jump in here? What do you mean by walking in like they own the place?
Well, let me ask April. When you go to get gas, do you just get out of the car, grab the hose, and start pumping?
Yeah, usually.
Well,
that's what I mean.
You don't think
that's... But whenever I go in to pay for my gas...
Yes.
I usually have a conversation of some sort.
Don't you think it's disrespectful to just get out of the car and just grab my pump hose?
No, I don't.
Oh,
it sounds
really?
To me
okay.
like your problem is more than just gasoline. The way you keep talking about it.
Well, what is a guy supposed to do when I pull in and I need gas? I'm supposed to
wave? Gas station owners do.
What's that, man?
They serve to just whoever.
Well, I'm not them, see? I keep my volume high by not selling to certain people. And therefore, I can keep the price down. But a guy walks in, just grab, why don't you come on in and buy some gum, say hello, this kind of thing, and show me that you got some respect for me.
You want me, when I drive into your gas station, to get out of my car and...
Just show me some common courtesy. See, that's all I'm saying, April, and maybe you'd still be married today. I don't know. I don't want to comment.
You don't comment on this lady's marriage.
Well, I'm sorry.
Okay, he made the comment. Let me get back at that right quick. The reason that I'm not with my husband right now is because he is a self-righteous, hypocritical...
Service station owner.
No, he doesn't own a service station. He's got a better life than that.
I'd be hard-pressed to find a better life than being an owner-operator of a filling and service station. Right here, I'm on Interstate 5.
There you go. You're on Interstate 5. You got a lot of people driving in and out from God knows where, and are you telling me you turn a lot of those people away?
I don't turn a lot of them away, but I do say to them, so you're just going to drive in here like you own the place, is that it?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Katrina. Hi, Katrina.
Hi.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I have a comment with this gentleman here. Well, I don't know if I should call you a gentleman, but I'm a career woman, and I'm the kind of person that, you know, helps young people in my career, and I think that it's kind of stupid of you to not provide gas for me if I need to go somewhere, even if I'm a paying customer.
Are you handicapped in any way, ma'am?
No, I'm not handicapped, no, but I help handicapped people.
Well, all right, so you're on your way to help somebody with one leg shorter than the other, and I don't know what you do. And
it's just she helps handicapped people.
All right. And
I help handicapped people. I provide leadership training for you.
Okay.
And sometimes if I were to drive in your business, you know what? I would need to go and help those young people.
Right.
And if you're not there to provide the gas that I need that I'm paying for,
you may be having...
what kind of person are you? And how the hell would you know if the persons that are getting gas from your station are not going to go on and commit murder or...
All right, Katrina, tell you what, Katrina, hold the line.
About.
Hold on, Katrina, and we'll get right back to you. We're on with Austin Amarca. He is a gas station owner who doesn't sell to everybody. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Back with Austin Amarca, and the price of gasoline going through the roof. He holds his prices down by not selling to everybody, and in the process, he only sells to the neighborhood or people that you approve of. And yet you admit that it is illegal to withhold a service from people if you are publicly trading it, right?
Mr. Henry, I do not illegally withhold a service. I try to discourage people. There's nothing that says you can't do that. But I will serve. Obviously, I'll sell it to them if they really want it. I don't understand why you'd want to buy something from a guy that doesn't want to, you know, doesn't want to buy it from or doesn't want to sell it to you. But I can tell you, I'll go ahead and do it. Do you hold on for a minute? So what I'm saying is, I don't even have to look up. I know a Level B customer's pulled up the pump. You know, you can hear the sound of their ramp coming down from the van, this kind of thing.
All right, let me get back to Katrina, who was hanging on. Go ahead, Katrina.
I'm sorry, but I think it's really stupid of you to just discourage.
Can I ask you a question? Hold on for a minute. I'm hearing a phone dialing.
I'm calling. I have my...
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hold on for a minute, Katrina. I want to ask him a question. Why am I hearing a phone dialing?
Because I call my partner in the mechanics bay when I see someone at the pump who I think is either one of these handicaps or something like that.
And what does he do? Does he then go out and talk to them?
Yes, sir.
All right, Katrina, go ahead.
I really think that it's really stupid for this guy to discourage people who are trying to get gas. I mean, when people try to get gas, it's out of necessity.
It's either a cripple or it's a bunch of young kids. Well, ma'am, what I do is I will sell it to them.
Okay, but why would you discourage like people like me, who are a career woman, and it turns out that in my career, I help the community?
Well, ma'am, why would you want to... okay, hold on for a minute. We got an old lady. All of a sudden, Mr. Henry, we got a blue air on 6. Why would you want to buy gasoline from me when I don't want to sell it to you?
It's not about buying gasoline.
Yeah.
It's about if I ever pass your gas station and I happen to need gas to go and help the people that I need to help,
yes, that's true.
Would discourage me for getting gas?
No, I wouldn't, but I would ask you this. If you've got your mind all on these young, the blind people that you help or whoever you help, and you run over a man, some homeless guy, now what good did I do?
How do you know that I'm going to run over some man? How do you know that the people that you're selling gas to won't be running?
A pump.
As well.
And some woman in high heels. Because, ma'am, here's the thing. You're right, I don't know.
You don't know.
I try to assess.
I think that by discouraging people, by discouraging consumers, you're also discouraging your community.
I got a blue hair, I got a young punk. Now, hold on for a minute, ma'am. I got a young punk on 3. What I'm saying to you, ma'am, is this. I try to assess the highest probability. Now, career women, they're driving down the road, putting their pantyhose on, putting on their makeup.
Who the heck does that? Put their pantyhose on while they're driving?
Oh, my God.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, well, I've been told.
How dumb are you? You're not a woman. You wouldn't know that. That's not possible. Putting pantyhose in the car?
I heard of the dumbest thing. Katrina, you
Maybe putting makeup or a lipstick, but you know what? Career women are generally responsible people, so they would pull over and put their makeup on and drive on.
Can I ask you a question, though?
They're responsible people.
At this point, you sound like a great lady. I do have to ask you at this time, do you have a speech impediment?
No, I'm Filipino, and I'm trying to learn English as a second language, and I'm doing well expressing myself. Thank you very much.
No, it's not a speech impediment. My partner asked because he heard you on the radio if you had a speech impediment.
Why would he ask that?
I don't have a speech impediment.
Why would he ask?
I can't express myself because I'm so mad at idiots like you that are trying to be a barrier to people like me
that are
trying to create something beautiful for the community.
Speech impediment on 3. No, he just wanted to know in case you had a speech impediment if you pulled into our gas station. But you're fine.
Where are you getting the speech impediment from?
Are you kidding? You're talking real slow, like you had an accident to your brain or something, like you flipped a Jeep.
Are you kidding me?
What do you mean you flipped a Jeep?
I'm not. I have a master's degree and a PhD.
All right, ma'am, it's my mistake.
You're probably a dumb one because you can't recognize what would be a good customer and what wouldn't be. And you know what? If I find out your business, I can actually find other people to encourage them to not go.
Ma'am, please understand.
Your business will go down, you stupid idiot.
No, ma'am, I didn't think. All I'm saying is I thought maybe you'd flipped a Jeep over in a ravine over here in Thousand Oaks, and you might have had some brain damage. But you don't, and that's fine, and I apologize.
Are you for real?
God almighty,
Mr.
Amarka.
God bless you. I think you deserve your ticket to hell.
Ma'am, I think that is one...
You're just on your
hold on.
Calmness, sir. For
she
talking to you like that, that's just
no, she doesn't.
All right, Katrina, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Frank. Frank, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to mention that when you get a license to run a gas station or any other business in America, you're agreeing to give service to the public at large. And
yes, sir.
This gentleman is not willing to do that, and that is discrimination. And
no, I sell to everybody that insists on buying my product.
Well, they shouldn't have to insist, should they?
I don't know. I don't know what the law says. The law doesn't say, you know, the law says I have to sell to people who want the product.
But if you're not willing to service the community at large, then that is discrimination.
He does not have a speech impediment.
And,
Are you a, when a Korean vet already has the hose in his hand.
But anyway, that was my point. That, when you get that license, you're willing to serve the people at large.
Well,
and
you,
it's not only old people who commit manslaughter. Young people
yes,
do it,
that's
too.
That's right. I also look at young people. You didn't hear me. I guess I don't know when you tuned in. Can I ask you a question?
That sounds like you wear a bow tie.
My partner is loud. He says you sound like the kind of guy that wears a bow tie.
Actually, I do not. I'm retired.
You are retired?
My bow tie days are over.
Okay. And are you over the age of 60?
No.
Wow, well, good for you.
What about,
And I do have a physical impediment, and I drive a truck very carefully. I don't have any problems driving.
Got a problem.
And I've never had anyone deny me gas. I'm a respectable citizen. And I think that you should have discrimination charges brought against you. That's all I want
to
say. Goodbye.
Like Wally Cox. Is this Wally Cox? Okay, you hung up.
Will you forget it?
He's got a greasy toupee.
No, he doesn't. Hold on. Let me call you first.
Hello?
I think he's got a greasy toupee.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
What are you guys doing? He's standing in the next room from you.
Well, we bought these really nice cell phones. I just want
them to take pictures.
Yeah, they take pictures.
Hello?
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, did you see that guy with a...
Get out of here! Hello? Lloyd, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Is that son of a bee there? Because...
If you're talking about me, yeah.
You stopped me from filling my Winnebago when my wife and I are going to Portland, and my friend... You'll be wearing my Winnebago. You'll be wearing it as a pair of slacks. Good night.
Hello? Yeah, did you hear that guy? I just had on the air.
Yeah, sound like a real turd.
Yeah.
Bye.
Goodbye.
So you bought these brand new cell phones. You're just using them back and forth even though you guys are 3 feet apart.
Yeah.
Hey, boss, can I have a Slim Jim?
Call me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hello?
Yeah, can I get a Slim Jim?
Sure, I'll bring one over.
Thank you.
All right. Get a Slim Jim.
I mean, goodbye.
Goodbye.
What are you going to do, bring him a Slim Jim in from the cash register?
Yeah, we got a few here, and I got some of those. You ever try this this kind of Harley Davidson breath freshener? It's really...
Yeah, that's fine. Well, there's one gas station you won't want to be... hanging out at, man, because if you're the wrong kind of person, they ain't going to sell you gas. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will return.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Well, we had a real piece of walking crap on our show yesterday by the name of Paul McNamara, who is selling survival gear. He says the time's right. What with the terrorist attacks in Madrid, won't be long now. It starts hitting the States again.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I am appalled at this guy. I mean, absolutely appalled. To the point that I've called in, and I've never called a radio show in my life.
You know, I find it funny that people are appalled with me. I'm trying to help this country protect itself from the inevitability of a mutant-producing radiological...
Will you come on with that?
Are you psychic?
Well, I'm not psychic, but I can certainly read the news. They did it in Madrid.
Really?
It changed the government. If they could do it over here and change Bush's government, Blair's government, and in London, they'll do it as well.
You know what you remind me of? You remind me of one of those traveling salesmen back in the 1800s selling their elixirs.
Well, that may be true, man. But you know, you can make it about me, but it's about Al Qaeda and what they want to do.
It's not about you. You're on a political kick, and you don't want.
So you think it's all a big fairy tale? You think it's all a big fairy tale?
I think it's ridiculous that you're trying to scare the American women.
Are you of childbearing years?
Sweetie, I'm 36 years old and I've born four children.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, nobody, not you or any other man, is going to be able to scare me or anybody else that I know of into buying some lead-lined suit that you can't prove to me is going to work.
Wait a second.
Place.
Everyone knows that lead inhibits radiation. Why do you wear a lead apron when you get your teeth x-rayed? Hello?
I don't know, but you know what?
Well,
I think you're not going
to
put it over your eye sockets, and you're not going to put it over your whole body. But there's going to be somewhere for it to seep into, isn't there?
You can get lead contact lenses. There are ways of...
You're going to be flopping around like a fish with the rest of us. So why are you
sitting
here saying
that crap? I'm talking about you pushing out another mutant when the rest of the world's trying to struggle.
You know what?
To me,
I wish I knew where you were right now, because I'm going to tell you something. Anybody who has the unmitigated gall, I bet you don't even know what that is. How about you go look it up? I bet you don't have any clue. You have no clue about anything that you're talking about.
You wish you knew where I was.
You
could come and make love to me.
Talk about people with fins. You have lost your mind.
Ma'am.
You know what?
I'm just trying to put an end to these types of afflictions.
You opened a big can of worms, mister, because I'm going to tell you something.
I want you. Well, what do they look like?
This is what I'm saying.
Well, wait, what does that mean?
Yours,
what do they look like?
Well, if she hasn't got a problem with mutants, maybe she's already popped out three or four. This is what I'm trying to say.
Wait a second. I bet you're a KKK agent, aren't you?
Well, I'm not the one with a southern accent. But anyway,
I don't have a problem with any people.
Ma'am,
but I bet I do have people with you because you're ignorant.
So you
and you're on the radio. Oh, my God. How the hell did you make it to radio?
Ma'am, I have...
Look at Mr. McNamara. Rather than engage in insults of my caller, I want to know an answer to this woman's question, which is, you are not psychic. You don't know that there's going to be a terrorist strike. Yes, Spain. Yes, there have been incidents, but we have a security office here.
Oh, come on. Will you, Mr. Henry? Anybody knows that one radiological bomb, and this woman's got a kid growing a hand out of the top of his head, and then she's going to wish to God I was around with a lead-lined suit. But no, she's giving me crap right now. But like I said to the other lady... They gave crap to a guy by the name of Noah. Maybe you heard about him. He was building a boat, and they said, hey, old man, you're stupid. And in a lot of ways, I feel like Noah, trying to tell people what, you know, they don't want to listen to me. Go ahead, have a kid with a...
Then why don't you try a different marketing tactic instead of attacking the American women and making it seem like we're so stupid and, oh, my God, there's a bomb. Oh, God, I got to run out and buy this idiot suit for $800. You have lost your friggin' mind.
Well, ma'am, I can tell you that if you don't want to buy the suit, one of your neighbors will, and then they will, when you're knocking on the door wanting you and your three-legged kid to get in, they won't let you in. So, you know.
You know what? I hope some person somewhere tonight does something about you, because you know what?
You have no business on the radio running your mouth. You know, I've been trying
None.
To help the American people, and you're violent. All you want to do is wish ill. I wish good on you. I wish
oh,
good
really?
On the American
You're
people
wishing that. Good on somebody
yes.
with hands growing out of head?
No, I said I
around?
Hope,
oh,
I
yeah,
hope
uh-huh.
you don't give birth to a kid with a hand growing out of his head. Did
oh,
you hear
yeah,
what
right.
I said?
You're going to be the one standing back going, ha-ha, I told you,
You know,
uh-huh.
you've got four children, huh? And with you
you're
being so cheap,
that happens.
Those four kids of yours will be giving birth to kids with heads growing off of their thighs. Thanks a lot.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Thank you. Think it's funny, bud?
Yeah, three-legged kid.
Okay. Anyway. Go laugh outside, okay? I'm glad you think it's funny. I gotta say what it is.
That's great, though. You'll be knocking on a door with your three-legged kid and no one will let you.
All right, bud. Thank you very much.
I gotta tell you, you know, a lot of things I have problems with you, but man, you're a funny son of a gun. Isn't that right, Eddie?
No doubt, that's the funniest bit I ever heard. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Eddie Van Halen joining us. Now, may I say what it was?
That was great, though.
I want to say what it was.
What's the matter, Phil? Can you take a compliment?
Yes, I can take a compliment. Now I forget who it was.
It was Paul McNamara, the guy selling the lead-lined dress.
Yes, Paul McNamara.
The whole thing about the three-legged kid was great.
Thank. Look at me. I'm surrounded by freaks. Now,
Oh, that's really nice after we paid you a high compliment and calling Eddie Van Halen a freak on account of he lost his tongue from a cigarette.
Eddie, I didn't mean to call you a freak.
No, that's okay, Phil. Many people say things that are the vivian.
Right. Anyway, coming up will be Steve Bozell. He's upset over seeing The Passion of the Christ because he believes that Mel Gibson purposely put a good-looking actor to play Jesus, and Mr. Bozell's wife was actually attracted to... She couldn't concentrate on the movie. She was attracted so much to the guy playing Jesus. Was she attracted to Jesus, or is she attracted to James Caviezel? Janice is simply nodding her head.
I'm sorry. James Caviezel. She was very attracted to James Caviezel.
Oh, so she's not attracted to Jesus.
No.
All right. So anyway, that'll be coming up on our program here just momentarily. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Our website, www.philhenryshow.com. We got some great stuff there in our souvenir shop. We're featuring our Jay Santos Compass Watch. It's a great April Fool's gift. But if you go to our souvenir shop on our website, man, we got bowling shirts from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We have got the Phil Henry brand baseball caps and T-shirts. We got a latte mug. We got a traveler's mug from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We've got a barbecue set, Ted's of Beverly Hills barbecue set. We got the Ted's of Beverly Hills barbecue apron with the famous slogan that we can't say on the air anymore, but it's on there. Here's a hint.
We want to put your meat in
it. No, don't say it. God. Anyway, we got that. What else we got in there? We got just a ton of stuff. So go to our website. We got something coming out for Father's Day that's going to be just super neat. So go to the website, www.philhenryshow.com. And while you're there, pick up a backstage pass. It'll give you an opportunity to hear all the classic audio on our website. And also, if you buy a copy of our Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio, the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. If you don't have a computer, if you don't know what the heck it is I'm talking about when I say go online, if you're like, that's a whole other language, man. 877-616-7445. Coming up, Steve Bozell on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Paul McNamara joins us with the organization Pets Best Friend, a nonprofit organization dedicated to the well-being of domestic pets. And, Paul, welcome to our program.
It's always a pleasure, Phil.
And we also have Bill Sully, the general counsel with Pets Best Friend. Bill, how are you?
I'm very good.
Gentlemen, let's talk about your organization because it is not an animal rights organization per se. It's sort of a alternative group. Isn't that right, Paul?
Well... I wouldn't call us an alternative group. Here is where our organization differs, Phil, from most. When we chartered in 1998, Bill and I made specific reference to the need that we not include in the definition of a legitimate domestic pet cats, felines.
Why is that?
Well, there are a million reasons why. I think most people would agree that cats are not... Most people, I think, would agree that cats are not legitimate pets because they lack the most significant quality domestic pets in general share. They do not respect or respond to the fundamental, if you want to call it, the fundamental supremacy of the human. Human beings, for all of our faults, are the highest form of life on the planet, and all domestic animals know this and respect this. Cats do not. The other reason I think Bill can illuminate or expand on this is that cats are not a well liked pet. They do not respond the way dogs do.
Well, the idea, Phil,
came to us when we were chartering Pat's Best Friend is that cats, as Bill said, as Paul said, rather, do not share domestic animals' respect for human beings, and that pets in general, domestic pets, have that quality. The reason why I am speaking with you tonight as a general counsel is we have been threatened with two or three lawsuits from cat owners over the propositions that we've made.
All right, I know a lot of people who have cats and love cats. They seem to enjoy that animal's independent qualities. Is that something that you respond to? Or?
Well, I think it's pretty sorry excuse for a person to try and drag love out of an animal. It is too selfish to give it. And when you see what happened to Roy Horn in Las Vegas, Bill, I think you would agree it was the handwriting on the wall.
Well, here was a gentleman, Mr. Horn, who was in Las Vegas, who's being fed from a tube, and the reason is because of a cat.
But you guys, you're talking about a white tiger that's an enormous-sized animal.
I understand the difference, but the mentality is the same. The average so-called house, and I say so-called, by the way, Mr. Andrew, because we do not recognize there's such a thing really as a house cat. The average cat, were it large enough, would do the same thing to its owner that Roy Horn's cat did to him. A cat will betray you the way Judas betrayed Jesus Christ, and then... I think, Paul, you had a good analogy. They will definitely, a cat will sell you out and clean its paws and go to sleep. And that's, I think, the most offensive thing about this animal.
How did you get to this philosophy? I'm interested because my family, we have a couple of cats. My kids enjoy them. The thing about a cat is they don't give affection the way a dog does, but they do play. They're affectionate in their own way.
Well, I'll tell you that as long as you have cats, I think your family's in jeopardy because...
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, let me point this out. When I was in college, I was living with a very beautiful Mexican American girl, probably one of the most beautiful Latin women I've ever met. We met where she worked. We moved in together. We were very passionate, but she did have these two black Burmese cats, and I, of course, tried to get to know them, but they never—they would never—they didn't do the things a dog would do. They wouldn't lick your face. They wouldn't come over when they were called. They did not do anything a dog would do. Lie down. I used to try to get them to fetch things.
Well, I got to jump in here. Cats don't do those things.
But I had not been exposed to cats, so I was looking at them with a pair of unbiased eyes. And what I saw was that other people can't see is the pure arrogance of this animal and the fact that it would sell you and its own mother in the same lot. And
let me give you an example, Phil, if I could.
Let me jump in and just say we're talking to Bill Sully and Paul McNamara of Pet's Best Friend. Bill is the general counsel. Paul is the... And we're talking about, you guys are talking about getting rid of cats because they are not really a house cat, because there is something fundamentally dishonest and sort of, I guess, disloyal about them?
Well, I want to give you an example of the mindset of these animals. When Paul lived with Gloria, and I knew Gloria briefly, one of these cats, and Paul, you probably tell it better, but one of these cats had killed a bird and had brought it to the back door where there is a mat.
That is correct. And it laid it on the mat. And when I saw that, I looked at the cat, and the cat was looking at me with one thought in its mind. You could see what the cat was thinking. You see this bird? If I could do that to you? And my blood ran cold. And if you've seen cats, the thing about a cat's eyes are when you look into their eyes are like doll's eyes. Until they hunt, then they roll back white, and you hear that high-pitched screaming. And I'll never forget that day.
Well, all right. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Cats are fundamentally disloyal animals, and as such should not be classified as a protected domestic pet.
That is correct. And what that would mean, Bill, is removing them from the idea that they're a protected domestic pet so that they're... not subjected to the same animal cruelty laws, I guess.
Well, that is correct. You would not have cats under the aegis of the ASPCA. You would not have cats under the aegis of the Humane Society. These would be animals considered to be feral, considered to be wild. And let me explain. There is no one on earth who detests everything Hitler stood for more than myself or Pet's Best Friend. And no one on earth who stands in greater admiration for the Japanese-American people and what they suffered in World War II. I don't agree with that at all, but the Japanese internment camps did not have gas chambers, they didn't have death squads.
what we are proposing through Pets Best Friend, and we're ready to help fund the building of internment camps for 30 million so-called domestic cats. The camps can be placed in two or three southwestern states, Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada, and eventually have these animals resettled in other in the wild or in some other country. We can resolve this through the United Nations, if you all. But that could handle this number of so-called domestic house cats until there is resolution.
But the point is that we are finally addressing the problem.
Well, here's the problem. The problem is a lot of people love cats.
A lot of people love cats until they realize that these animals have absolutely no loyalty. If they were human beings, they would slit your throat from ear to ear. And I mean this. I can tell you, Phil, the Burmese cats that Gloria had, my girlfriend, we were going to get married. If I told her that I didn't want these cats in our home, she insisted that they stay. I let the cats out. I opened the door and let them get out because I love this girl. And when I say she was beautiful, she was gorgeous, I let the cats out. We eventually got engaged, and we eventually did get married. But I told her eventually, about a year into our marriage, that I had let the cats go. And the hold these animals had over her, when she found out that I let the cats out of the house on purpose, she left the house. She moved out of the house and eventually divorced me. Now,
well, because you lied to her. You said that the cats ran away or something, and you let them out.
That's not the point. The point is I was saving...
If I could jump in, this is Bill Sully. When you are talking about a family that you love and you are trying to create an environment of affection, having a house cat, the way that animal looked at you that day...
Well, that cat looked up at me...
Look, cats do that. They kill birds, they kill mice. They lay them on the mat as a way of showing the master of the house that they're doing their job.
That is a misnomer. That is,
what do you mean it's a misnomer?
That is not what the case is. The case is, in my opinion, it's a threat. A threat to the owner that I will do to you what I did to this bird. So help me, Christ. Now, I...
No, all right, let me hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Paul McNamara and Bill Sully of Pets Best Friend about house cats. They do not want them to be recognized as legitimate domestic pets. They want them taken off of that list so that they are no longer protected by the ASPCA or the Humane Society. They believe these are fundamentally feral wild animals with no real loyalty or respect for human beings. And in point of fact, they use what happened to Roy Horn in Las Vegas as an example. Roy Horn, as you know, was injured by that white tiger in the Tiger Act. 1-800-449-8686. Should cats eventually be removed from domestic house pet status and removed from the American home? 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I'm talking with Paul McNamara and Bill Sully of Pets Best Friend. It is a nonprofit organization dedicated to the well-being of domestic pets. You gentlemen are at the Los Angeles Greyhound Terminal, is that right?
Yes, Phil, that is correct.
And Mr. Sully, why is that?
The reason why we're here, Phil, is because we have received threats. And we are leaving the Los Angeles area briefly. We're going to try to continue our work and try to appeal to Sacramento, but we have to do it from an area that, from an undisclosed location. And this is a very unfortunate reality when you're dealing with controversial legislation that is designed to help people. We have received threats from individuals who call themselves cat lovers, but we need to let everyone know that the cat, and we are speaking specifically now of the domestic house cat, is a threat to the well-being of the owners,
And if they were big enough, if they were humans, if cats were human beings, Phil, this is what we like to say. If a cat was a human being, he would slit your throat while you slept. He would.
You know, my cat, the cat that we have, our little cat, his name is Ruffy, he sleeps with my daughter.
He sleeps with your daughter. If he were big enough and he were a human being, he would do to your daughter what that man did to Elizabeth Smart. Abduct her, take her into the forest, and turn her into a hostage for 9 to 12 months.
This is an animal that has no life.
Phil, the point is the domestic cat, this little furry cat that everyone thinks they understand and love, is a ticking time bomb. And if you've got one in your own home, we feel the best thing to do, and we've been threatened. I'm at a bus station. I've got two tickets for Bill and myself to get out of town because of what's happened with these cat owners.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jonathan, you're on the air here with Bill Sully and Paul McNamara of Pet's Best Friend. Go ahead. Jonathan? Well, I lost Jonathan.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, Jonathan, go ahead. I'm sorry. Well, we can hear you, Jonathan. Can you hear us?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Go right ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just had a comment for the two gentlemen. I've had a minx cat since it was a little tiny kitten. And that cat, when it got older, it was very loving, very affectionate. It'd go catch rabbits and bring them, and they'd leave them. She would never eat them until I told her it was okay and petted her. So they can't be as bad as these gentlemen are making
well,
out. That's all I had to say, sir.
The reason I said what I said, Jonathan, is when the cat brought that rattlesnake to your back door, did it ever occur to you that the cat is showing to you what he'd like to do to you?
Well, I don't think the cat's mentality is that great. I think it just hunts out in Mother Nature's respect. That's their line in the wild is line in domestic life as far as the cat is concerned, but it doesn't cause or par any threat to humans.
Well, here is what my point, I guess, is, and Bill made this point, Jonathan. Women who are abused in their homes have a very hard time admitting that a husband is beating them, so they stay in the home even though it's dangerous. This is the same way owners of cats hesitate trying to get away from the cat. They refuse to admit the cat is dangerous, even though they should get away from it. And we're simply saying we don't want to harm the animal. We'd like to have them resettled in an aboriginal area, an area that could be described as feral, wild, within certain confines. We'd like to airdrop all the cats, if we could, and this would be in association with a variety of countries. So, is the gentleman there?
Jonathan, you're on a kind of a two-way that's kind of scratchy, but we appreciate your call. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. Are you talking about airdropping?
Phil, I'll take that question. Cats, first of all, it would be very expensive to resettle the cats, domestic cats here in the United States, but there could be a single airdrop administered by the United Nations where the cats would be parachuted into a jungle-like area, for instance.
All right, we got a little bit of a quirk on our line there. I'm sorry, Bill, did you say something?
No, it's Paul. Yeah, Phil, the expense comes in developing some kind of a parachute that would be applicable to an animal, and I don't know how that is, but we have put our resources behind that, but they obviously be a much smaller parachute.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Tammy, go ahead.
Do you guys really think that your cat is going to stand over your bed at night and try to slice your throat?
No, ma'am, of
Are
course
you
not. No, no, of course not. What I'm saying to you is this. It is a disloyal animal, and it does not respect the... And for all of our faults, the supremacy of human life on this planet. And I mentioned
you know
that
what?
My girlfriend...
hang on, give me 1 second.
Go ahead,
I've had dogs my entire life. I love dogs.
Yes,
and I hated the fact that I've moved to California, got an apartment where I can't have dogs. Went out and I got a kitten. God loves this thing. He plays fetch. He plays hide and seek. He is crazy. He goes for walks outside. He's like a little dog. He got hurt. I'll tell you this really quick. He got hurt and... showed so much affection when we brought him home
well,
from the hospital.
Well, that's their way of lying.
No, he's
it's
not lying.
It's a dishonest animal.
Genuine.
He's a liar.
It's genuine.
Let me ask you this.
There's more innocent than we are.
Can I ask you a question, ma'am? You
sure.
Know, for you, that's fine. I had probably a woman that I wanted to stay married to.
I heard your story.
She had more loyalty to a cat than she had to me.
I don't blame her.
Well, maybe there was something underlying there. Maybe she saw something. I don't know.
You know something? No, ma'am. I blame the cat, and it's lying, and it's arrogance.
You're blaming something, you know, with a brain
and the animal,
tiny compared to yours.
Phil, this is Bill Sully.
Go ahead, Bill.
I just wanted to mention to the lady that the idea that an animal like a cat will kill a bird or a rat or what have you and bring it to the back mat in your
home. Dogs will kill. They don't display it.
They don't display it to the master of the house as if to say, you're next.
Look at pit bulls.
Wait a minute. What do you mean saying you're next? Like you said.
No, they're not big enough to kill you, but they lay that dead bird as if to say, oh, what I wouldn't give to do this to you.
No, that's not what they're saying.
All right,
I'm
ma'am, you have
you
fun with your
that.
Cat. I don't know what... Has this cat of yours ever needed one of your... Does he need you at night on your arm or your leg or your sweater? This is an aggressive sign.
He lays at the foot of my bed every single night. When I wake up, he runs, he goes into my son's room, and he wakes up my son by licking his face.
I can tell you. See, you're laughing, and what... It kind of insults me that you don't take me seriously.
No, I am. I find it absurd.
What,
I'm sorry.
Well, you find it absurd?
Well, you guys are talking about developing small parachutes to
That's
drop...
That's absurd.
That is an idea that we
had. Do you think the United Nations is really going to get in on this when there is, I mean, people are starving, there's diseases.
No, I do not.
They're worried
about No, you're right.
Parachuting cats into a remote island somewhere so they can't populate the world?
All right, I can play for you the sound of an animal. This was tracked by the United Nations wildlife biologists, and this is the sound of an animal, a cat, a Burmese cat, that is angry. And through high-pitched technology, you're able to isolate the, I guess we could call it the aggressive sound. Go ahead and play this if you wouldn't mind. To you, that sounds like a meow. To me, that sounds like the silent scream of a shark that is heading in for the kill.
All right, Tammy, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Domestic cats, according to Pets Best Friend, a nonprofit organization for the well-being of domestic pets, cats need to go. They need to be taken out of the American home. They're an aggressive and hateful animal, and they do not respect the, quote, supremacy of human life. 1-800-449-8686. We'll get into making these small parachutes to do a single drop into jungle territory when we get back on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball, it's entertainment. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, I'm back with Paul McNamara and Bill Sully, who's the general counsel of Pets Best Friend, a nonprofit organization dedicated to the well-being of domestic pets. You guys think the first thing that has to be done is that cats get taken off of any list of protected domestic pet that they are to be... You use Japanese-American internment as some example.
Well, I think there needs to be some kind of a roundup. We do not want to have an extermination of these animals. We do believe that they are viable in the wild. What we do want, though, is a safe drop, 130,000 drop, utilizing a nylon, light nylon parachute, single to a single feline. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. So this can be accomplished with a C-130 Hercules transport plane over any areas, uninhabited areas of Papua New Guinea or the archipelago islands. These cats can then continue to live in a habitat they were born into, and they will not be fettered by humans that they have no common decent respect for.
The common decency, I think, is the idea here. I don't want to live with them if they can't even give me the courtesy of a dog will lick your face, a cat. You know, I used to do work in my office. The cat would come in and use the cat box while I'm trying to get work done, and they stink. And that is,
it's just an animal doing what an animal does.
But it is a sign of disrespect that when you're in the middle of trying to get something done, and the animal comes in and uses the box, uses the toilet, as if to say...
1-800-449-8686. I'm going to go to Angela. Angela, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Or hold on, Angela, if you wouldn't mind for just a moment. I go to Amy. Amy, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Amy, go right ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering about the impact of dropping thousands of feral cats into pristine jungle situations where they can kill off tons of native wildlife. Feral cats in the U.S. kill loads of migrant and endangered bird species all the time, and you're talking about dropping?
Well, I don't know. First of all, the endangered bird species you're talking about are animals that have been transported in this country illegally. If you're talking about wild parrots, those animals should
be... No, I'm not talking about wild parrots. I'm talking about migrant birds, species native to the U.S.
Cats
kill loads of them all the time.
That's
it's a big
what cats
problem.
Do.
So you're going to drop them off in the middle of the jungle with no consideration of what the impact will be on the local wildlife?
Well, that's what cats do. And if cats were allowed to do what they do, you would see much more of an eco-balance than you see today. Let me give you an example, too. This is a normal cat, and this is a normal glottal sound from a cat. Listen to this. We took that sound and were able, the University of Miami has an audio lab, we were able to slow this down and to a much slower pace and also to highlight the low end, and this is what it sounds like. Now, I would say to the caller, if that doesn't sound like a lion, and that is an angry lion,
so you'd like
then my
to
name is
cats
Captain
that
Kangaroo.
Are living happily
I'm Mr.
In...
Green Jeans.
You're going to take cats that are living happily in homes, not bothering any wildlife, drop them all into the jungle where they can completely throw off the ecological balance of the entire ecosystem there.
You got a lot of concern for ecology. You got no concern for humans. I'm telling you, I'm sick of them.
Where's the research showing all the cat attacks and all the fatal domestic house cat attacks?
I didn't say there were any fatal attacks. I did say
then why are they a ticking time bomb
because
if we've never actually had a documented case of a cat?
Because they are lying, something.
What's the danger in my home?
Ma'am, that cat hates you.
Right,
hates
but where's
guts.
The danger?
And
I don't care. Maybe
you,
I like maybe
and
I
speaking
like
to you, I can understand why.
Well, that's
why?
Not necessary.
Well, let me take over. This is Bill Sully. Amy, how are you?
Fine.
Good. This one cat, the one that dropped the dead bird on the doormat over at Paul's house, it would watch Paul and Gloria making love.
That's fine, but...
Watch like it was judging them.
Where's
like
the
it was
danger,
judging
though?
Paul.
Where's the danger in the house that we have to remove
you know what?
From home?
You know what? I don't like you either.
Where's the danger?
Okay, neither one of them wants to talk to you. Thank you for calling, though.
Is she gone?
Yes.
All right, she's gone, Bill.
I was going to go and...
Are you guys going to catch a bus, or...?
We're on our way to... we don't want to tell anybody where we're going.
But it's because of the threats you've received from cat owners.
That is correct.
Let me go over here to Angela. Hi, Angela. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I totally agree with Amy. I have to go on her side. I have never had a threat from a cat, ever. I have raised cats all my life for 38 years almost.
I think that you are deluded, ma'am. I think the cat has you in a position where you want to believe it's not going to hurt you.
It's the human race. Have you heard a cat has attacked? Yes, the only reason a cat has attacked is because the human race has been rude to that cat.
Let me say this. Maybe the cat hasn't attacked, but let's talk about this for a second. Why in the 3 years that I was married to a beautiful Mexican-American woman, Gloria, did this thing always have to stare at me while I was trying to, be
so
masculine?
So what? My cats stare at me and my husband making love all the time. So what? He's like a cat.
So have you asked your husband?
A cat?
You
a
say
cat?
So what? What's your husband think about it?
Oh, he loves cats, too. We both love cats.
But does he want
to
stare at
him? We love all animals, huh?
Can I jump in? Angela, my name's Bill Sully. I'm general counsel.
Mm-hmm.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Paul is talking about a cat's tendency not to respect even the most private moments that a human being can enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're sitting on the toilet, for instance.
That's the same as having a kid around. You know, what are you going
to
do?
It's like you're not going to sit and use the toilet with a kid staring at you. But the cat wants to get into the bathroom and see what you're doing.
Cats are very they're the nosiest. And excuse my language.
So what? It's like cats are not a threat to society.
I'd like to
you have
for
that
you.
Wrong. Your tests have it wrong. Those are two different races of species. That's a wild animal.
No,
a lion or a tiger. You cannot
Roy
tame
Horn.
That.
Roy Horn, what happened to Roy Horn can happen to you. Now listen to this domestic cats, so to speak.
That is bull, because there's no, you cannot judge a wild cow from the wild from Africa from a domestic cat.
Are you saying, let me jump in here, Angela, are you saying, not for a moment, are you saying that that sound is a domestic house cat slowed down?
That is correct. So what I'm trying to say to you, Angela, is that that is the sound of a domestic house cat's real
intention.
What about
the human race? What about all these human people who rape children and stuff? What are you going to do about them? You know,
I'm a human
animals
being.
Are so loving.
My
cats
being.
Are so loving.
Listen to this.
You are wrong. And you know what? Any place you you're going
to
be banned anywhere.
Ma'am,
any place you go, you're going
to
be banned anywhere.
You
hear me, Dad?
I'm a way better. I'm higher on the evolutionary ladder than a cat. Are you kidding me or what?
I'd rather have my cats around than you around.
Angela, we are leaving town. We're at the Greyhound bus station right now.
Good. Leave town because any place you go, you're going to be banned. You know,
who's going to ban? I mean, we've gotten.
I have so many foundations for cats.
You talk about human beings raping. You won't need to worry about rape when that cat has your neck between its teeth.
Oh, my cat has never ever.
That's a good point,
I've had cats all my life. My friends have cats all their life.
You know what? You can have cats your whole life. Just remember.
How about a dog?
Your cat is staring at you.
They had to put it down because he turned on their kids. He growled at them for almost bit the little girl. They had to put it down to sleep.
I think you're making it all up.
I swear, I am not making it up.
You heard that meow? Now listen to what its real intention is for you.
Oh, that is BS.
Listen to what
you cannot take it. You cannot take a wild tiger, a lion, try to tame it. You know?
Well,
oh, come on. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to judge that.
Angela, can I just tell you something? That both Paul and I are leaving town because we've received death threats from cat owners like yourself.
Well,
and
any place you go, you're going to receive them. I'm sorry because there's so many cat lovers, you know. And
That's that.
Cat turned on you?
That cat
have you ever experienced a cat turning on you?
Hey, Roy Horn. Three words
can
for you, Roy Horn.
Can you answer the question?
All right.
Yes, I did. A cat ruined my marriage to a beautiful Mexican woman. That cat ruined my marriage.
Oh, my God.
All right, listen, Angela, thank you. Thank you very much.
Marriage? I think you ruined your marriage.
Thank you very much for your call.
Mr. Henry, I was given to understand that I'd be on your radio show with individuals who are intelligent, and that chick...
She reminds you of Gloria, doesn't she?
She sure does. It's good, Bill, that you're with me. Bill and I, by the way, are going to be getting married.
You guys are gay?
Yes, we are. We're gay. We have a pets... nonprofit organization, and we hate cats. That's kind of out there, but it works for us. And we're leaving town because of the threats, but we'll go away somewhere. We don't want to mention where we're going, but it's Desert Hot Springs. Nice going. Oh, I'm sorry.
Is your bus there yet?
We're at the airport. We got to go.
All right, so that's the two idiots that are, So that's the normal sound, but there's the real sound of a cat? This is the real sound. Just slow it down, and this is what they sound like.
Jesus, makes my blood run cold. Meow, my...
All right. Okay. Ah! You know, I've had a cat stare at me after he snapped the neck of a bird. I never thought he was looking up and thinking, you're next. All right, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, if you'd like to contact Pets Best Friends, we'll give you that address before the show is over tonight. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will continue in a moment.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty. The Phil Henry Show is back. Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Yes, sir. My husband was in a coma.
Yes, ma'am.
In a coma for about 3 or 4 months or 5 years. It was a long time.
How come?
He was sick. He had emphysema and everything. And all of a sudden, he slipped into a coma.
Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Brown. He came in.
Yes.
Yeah, Dr. Brown came in.
I know him.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Then he came in. You know what he said? He said, no. My husband about 40, 50 years old. He said, no, don't pull a plug on him. He said, because he is too young to die. So let him stay on. Let him stay on another 2 or 3 weeks. And we did. And you know what happened? The nurse was standing over watching him. And then all of a sudden, he awakened. Then he told the nurse, he said, what the f*** y'all stand over looking at me like this?
Is that nurse, right? That's amazing. Now, when he woke up and he looked at you, Winona, did he think you
were... No, he didn't look at me. The nurse. The nurse was standing over.
I bet you he thought you were Missy Elliott when he first saw you, didn't he?
No, the nurse was standing over him, and the nurse said, no, he told the nurse, what the damn hell y'all standing over looking at me like this right here?
Isn't that a wonder? Now, is he dead? Is he alive? Where is he now?
We were married for 50 years.
And you said he saw you and he thought you were Halle Berry? Is that what he said?
No.
I thought that's what you said.
No,
she didn't say
that. The nurse was standing over him.
He said you were Missy Elliott.
No.
No, she didn't say that.
Then I'm missing something.
You are missing something. Yes, I said the nurse was standing over him, and he asked the nurse, "What the damn
all
hell?"
Right. Are you sure that was your husband? And were you in the right room?
Oh yes.
Okay. Good.
I know my husband because I've been married to him for 50 years.
Well, of course you are, darling. And I just wanted to make sure you knew you were in the right room.
What kind of a question is that?
You know what? The lady gonna live. Y'all gonna leave.
Well, what did you do with the boyfriend you had once your husband woke up?
I'm not like her.
Yeah.
Now wait a minute. But
I understand. I understand, darling.
I'm not like that, sir.
Okay. Jeb Bush.
Listen to me.
Jeb Bush wanted to pull the feeding tube on his brother George.
Wait a minute. Would you just shut up a little? Well,
yes, ma'am.
My husband died August of 6th of 99.
August 6th, 99.
I do not have no boyfriend, no husband, no.
Now, darling, is your husband still in a coma?
Her husband has passed on.
Sir,
I'm sorry.
Do you understand?
Who did your husband think he was?
You know what?
Are you a doctor, sir?
Yeah, are you a doctor, Dr. Sadler?
Well, why do you think they call me Dr. Sadler? Am I a doctor? They call me Dr.
Well,
Sadler.
You talk like somebody that don't have it all.
Well, darling, can I speak with your husband right now, please?
Couldn't you speak to my husband?
Yes,
I told you he had passed in 99. How can you?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
She said her husband's dead in 1999.
But he rose on the third day, and that's the great thing about Jesus.
That she's not talking about Jesus. She's talking about her ex-husband.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What do you mean he said, what are you all looking at me?
Because when he came out of the coma, he didn't realize he had been in a coma. When he came out of the coma, he told the nurses what the hell were they standing over looking at him because nurses was watching him.
Yeah, that's a great story. It's a great
story. Because the doctors told him, told us that he would be a vegetable. He wouldn't know anything when he come out of that coma, and he did.
He'd be a vegetable. I thought when you said he woke up and he said, what the f*** y'all looking at me for? I thought you were talking about Jesus. You know?
Winona, thank you very much. And that's a beautiful story. All right, dear. Bye-bye.
What do you mean? What, you making me sound like a...
Yeah, you treated her like one.
What did I do?
I thought you were talking about Jesus. What the f*** are y'all looking at me for?
And then he rose to heaven.
Look, at Winona's back. Winona, go ahead. You're back on the Phil Henry Show.
Okay, you're the one. You're the doctor that I was talking to a few minutes ago?
Yes, this is Dr. Jim Sadler.
Okay, sir. The one that I was talking to, I don't know who he is, but I tell you what, he's one stupid doctor. He's no doctor. He's one stupid. He needs to be off on this show. He don't need to be talking to nobody because he don't know what he's talking about. He is one stupid doctor.
Well,
I don't want to talk to you no more.
You don't have no kind of sense at all.
You're a stupid man.
I'm stupid.
You don't need to be on the show talking to nobody because you don't know what you're saying. You're talking in rooms and all that kind of stuff. You an ignorant doctor. Ignorant bastard doctor. Bye.
Well, now, I don't know what to say. I'm flabbergasted by the... Winona, you need to lay down because you're going to get excited to slip into a coma.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I just can't believe that you think that an 8-year-old boy, and you're an adult man,
yes,
and you... an 8-year-old boy, and you tell him not to tell, and you're calling him a backstabber?
Of course.
That's amazing to me.
What do you call it?
You are an adult. That doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Well, you guys want me to trust kids. I don't. I mean, they're one of them sent me up the river for 5 years.
He should have sent you up the river for longer.
Oh, okay.
Don't you understand that?
Yeah, okay, Angie Dickinson. What are you, policewoman?
I'm not a policewoman, but I'm also not a...
I'm sure you've said to a kid at least once, don't tell. I'm sure you have.
Well, no, I actually haven't. And
you
I,
never have.
When
you
no, were, I when never you were, actually have.
When you were
I don't have any. I don't have any kind of sick thought about it. You're a sick man.
Don't
your
tell
thoughts
anybody.
Are sick. That's why you're off, because your thoughts are sick, and now you're saying that you're not going to run a mall with children.
No, we're not
Give
letting kids
Give me a break.
In. Well, wait a minute.
You,
they're back.
You are an adult.
What if I let
you
one of them in the
known.
Mall? What if I let one of them in the mall, and suddenly he, you know, insists on coming up to my office and sitting on my lap?
Don't
what?
You think if he went up to your office, you could say, no, thank you, that's not appropriate?
I could,
you
but
are
then,
an
he'd
adult.
Cry. Then he'd cry about it and tell his mother
you're,
that I...
Oh, well, let him cry about it. You're an
little,
adult. You should know
All
you
I
are
did.
Acting like a child.
I... What's that between a man and boy?
Look it, pal. Was he your son?
No.
Even if he was your son, you got no right to do that. Helping him on with a pair of pants.
Okay. Let's say everything the two of you are saying is true. I still don't want to be around when one of them comes in my... I just don't like them. It's like some people don't like blacks. Some people don't like whites. Some people don't like women. I don't like kids.
No, that's an
and
ignorant world that you're living
them.
In.
Some
that's
kids
an
will
ignorant
push
world that you live in, not us.
Well, ma'am, what happens if some kid pushes me to the point where I've got to take, you know, where I hurt him?
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball, it's entertainment. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
We continue talking about the war on terror with one individual, citizen Stephen Bozell. You have taken the president's words that we need to be alert to heart, correct?
Oh, without question. Without question, Phil, and that's what I think we all should do. And when people try to inhibit you from speaking your mind, and when people try to inhibit you from speaking of things that you feel are important, and I think that imposes, that, you know, impedes the rights of all people. And unfortunately, that's happened to me. I think it's happened to a lot of people.
So in other words, the freedom of speech of people who are speaking in favor of the war on terror is being affected, as well as those who are speaking against it?
Oh, without question. You know, an example is of what happened in my own life, and the reason why I have brought the lawsuit that I brought. This is important because even your very best friends are going to keep you from speaking your mind about the Iraq war and what President Bush is trying to do.
What was it that happened at your home on the night that you're talking about?
Well, I had some friends over, and these are neighbors of mine. These are gentlemen who are named prominently, the suit Jerry Christopher, also Roy Hutchins, and a few other gentlemen are there. Mr. Hutchins is my next-door neighbor, and I have a ping-pong table in my garage, and it's a place where we're very fortunate. A lot of my neighbors, mostly the men after work in the evening hours, come over and play. And on Friday night, three of these gentlemen from our block, and Jerry comes over. He lives on La Tiena, which is in our neighborhood here, and we were playing ping-pong, and I said something that I've been wondering about for quite some time. If you look at Osama bin Laden, and you look back on the old James Bond movies, and the villains that Mr. Bond had to face, whether it was Dr. No gentleman or the Goldfinger or the Thunderball villain and so on, that it seems Osama bin Laden has patterned himself on these gentlemen, and that he wants to be, you understand, a supervillain or what have you. And
now, you were talking to these gentlemen about this in your garage?
Yes, sir, I was. And I was talking about how it's possible, because bin Laden did a lot of traveling in Europe and so on during his youth, that he would have been exposed to these films and so forth. And the reason why I'm bringing the civil rights lawsuit is because of my exercise, my free speech, that I've been subjected to harassment.
At the hands of these gentlemen that were in your garage, because you're there playing ping pong with these guys, just a group of the neighborhood men, correct, Mr. Bozell?
Yes, sir.
And that's when you made the comment you felt that Osama bin Laden may be patterning himself after certain James Bond villains.
Or any of these so-called supervillains, what have you, from the comic books. And so Mr. Christopher, the gentleman who's from the next block, started it.
and the comment, I spoke with my attorney about the comment that came from the gentleman by the name of Roy Hutchins, who's actually my next door neighbor, and he said, and I'm looking at my notes, oh, is that right, Steve? And do you think maybe Lex Luthor bombed Pearl Harbor too? End quote. And immediately I note there was general laughter and there was derision at my expense. And
now, you mentioned something about your son. So this man came up with a sarcastic comment.
Well, it was an effort to get me to be quiet. It was an effort to get me to stop talking about possible ways to get Osama bin Laden. And
all right, you mentioned your son was present?
I spoke with my attorney about that as well. She informed me that belittling a man in the presence of one of or all of his children can be actionable, in that I was basically called an idiot in front of my son, who also joined in.
What do you mean? Your son joined in?
Yes, sir.
What do you mean?
Well, he was under the influence of these adults, and he come off with his smart, you know, talk and everything. I mean, excuse my language.
But what did he say?
He said that, and I kept a notation of this.
Are you reading from notes, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay.
My son said, hey, Dad, bin Laden is about religion and not money like the James Bond villains are. And then he was laughing.
He said that bin Laden is about money, bin Laden's about religion and not money.
Bin Laden's about religion, not money, but he also laughed. Okay, my own son laughed at me.
All right, you're talking about taking legal action against these men, correct? Suing them, right?
Well, let me explain something. I have a First Amendment right to express my political views. And right now, our country needs all the help it can get. And those men laughing at me infringed on my human rights to free speech, and I was talking about a solution. And
so what are you suing them for? And our number, by the way, 1-800-449-8686, Mr. Bozell, for people listening at home.
Certainly.
1-800-449-8686. You mentioned in your garage that these guys, that Osama bin Laden may be trying to pattern himself after comic book supervillains or something, and they laughed at you.
That is correct, and I'm certainly, I'm not against people laughing, okay? But when it comes to a violation of my civil rights, which is the same thing that happened to Mr. Rodney King or some of these other individuals, Dolores Blazing is my attorney in our suit.
Well, who are you suing?
I'm suing Roy Hutchins, Jerry Christopher, all the men who were there, Sean Tolan, Mr. Peter Freer, Don Horrocks, and Stephen Bozell Jr., who is an accessory on account of my rights being violated.
And now, Stephen Bozell Jr. is your son, and you are naming him in this lawsuit, correct?
That is correct. And I can tell you it is a very painful thing. But my civil rights were being violated by those men on that night that I'm talking about.
All right, Stephen Bozell is with me, a man who has filed a lawsuit against six or seven neighbors. I don't know how many men are named in your suit, sir.
Well, it's about, I've got one, two, three, four, five, six individuals.
Six men, including your own son, are being sued for violating your civil rights. When you brought up the possibility that bin Laden was under the influence of James Bond movies, perhaps, they laughed at you.
Well, they laughed, but in a derisive way. And as I mentioned, the comment, hey, Bozell, maybe Lex Luthor bombed Pearl Harbor, this kind of a deal. One of the other gentlemen mentioned something about, maybe the Riddler killed Kennedy. And that was said by Mr. Christopher.
Maybe the Riddler killed Kennedy, meaning the Riddler from the Batman comic series?
Yes, sir.
What do you mean by the same thing happened to Rodney King?
Well, it was like a gang mentality. What happened to Rodney King was that he was set upon by police officers who were violating the Constitution of the United States of America by beating on him. And the same thing happened to me. I was set on, like on account of a gang mentality, that once this Mr. Christopher said what he said, it became almost a feeding frenzy. And Roy Hutchins said about everything, you know.
All right, so they all started laughing at you. Mr. Hutchins said the thing about Lex Luthor bombing Pearl Harbor. Mr. Christopher, the Riddler killed Kennedy, and it became a big laugh fest, right?
That is correct. That is correct.
And is that it?
Pete Freer and also Don Horrocks. I can give you the incidents from the lawsuit.
Yeah, please.
All right. Pete Freer and Don Horrocks started doing the James Bond theme music. They started going, humming it. And
what do you mean by that, humming it?
Well, they were going, da-na-na-na, da-na-na-na,
And the James Bond theme?
Yes, sir.
So there. So in the middle of all of this, guys, to saying the Riddler bombed Pearl Harbor or whatever.
No, the Riddler. They say the Riddler killed Kennedy and Lex Luthor bombed Pearl Harbor. And then they started going on the James Bond theme. And this is what it said. And it was at that time I did become emotionally distraught. And I did run out of the room. And which also mentioned the lawsuit. And I went into our master bedroom and I laid down there and I guess I just cried. And my wife was in the room reading and she didn't show any interest at all either. So it affects the entire family.
Can I ask you, when you say Bin Laden is trying to pattern himself after the arch villains of the James Bond movies and comic books, why did you expect those men to do anything but laugh? You know?
Well, let me answer that question, Phil, because I've been asked that. We are living in a time where we need all the input we can on Bin Laden. And we need some solidarity on the issue. And when someone offers some ideas on Bin Laden and how to catch him, it's very, I think, unpatriotic to laugh at that person. So if they want to laugh at me, fine, but I have it within my rights to not only file a civil action, but to turn those names over to the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security. All right?
But, I mean, these are long-standing...
No, I wouldn't do it, but I do have it within my rights.
But to turn their names over to the FBI and Department of Homeland Security would cause enormous hardship for those people.
No, I'm saying I wouldn't do it, but I do have the right to do it. So if these guys want to laugh at me, fine, but I can technically turn their names over to the Department of Homeland Security.
Well, I would offer this to you, Mr. Bozell, and our number is 1-800-449-8686. I understand that you care about your country and that you wanted to talk about the possible influences on Bin Laden in the hopes that it might catch him. When you mentioned that he might have been under the influence of James Bond movies, in other words, he wants to be a supervillain, maybe you should have expected the laughter.
Well, not at a time like this, no.
So you didn't expect them to laugh at you?
No, not really. But my attorney said to me, Dolores Blazingame, she said, you had every right to expect that those men would take you seriously. And as the result of them laughing at you, now they're in trouble because I'm going to sue them. And if I wanted to, I could give their names over to Tom Ridge and the Department of Homeland Security.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. In this day and age where people are still debating the war on terror, this man was talking with his friends about what could possibly be influencing Osama bin Laden. He feels it's possible that bin Laden's travels as a young man through Europe exposed him to James Bond movies, and maybe he wanted to become a super villain in much the same way that we see these characters in the Superman comics and the Batman comics, the Riddler and Lex Luthor. His friends laughed at him, causing him emotional distress, and he says infringing on his civil rights of free speech. He's suing them and is also threatening to take their names to the Department of Homeland Security. Are we turning into a country of tattletales? Are we turning into a country of the Fahrenheit 451, which, you know, turning in our neighbors? By the way, Fahrenheit 451 is an actual book by Ray Bradbury about the burning of books. It was not influenced by Fahrenheit 9/11. That's the other way around. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Roasting marshmallows on the everlasting bonfire.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
My guest is Stephen Bozell. Mr. Bozell, what do you do for a living?
Yes, sir. I have my own construction contracting business.
In Corona, California?
Yes, sir.
All right, you are suing some neighbors of yours for laughing at you, or as you say, derisively laughing at you, when you mentioned that you thought Osama bin Laden might have been influenced by the James Bond supervillains, and therefore that may be what's motivating him. They laughed at you, made comments about Lex Luthor, and so on. I want to ask you a question before we take a phone call. First of all...
And let me just make one point, Phil.
Sure.
These people, if they continue to laugh at me and... my suggestions about how we can catch bin Laden, I'm entitled to be put into witness protection.
You mean witness protection that the FBI uses?
Yes, because I'm making political comments and they're laughing at me, and that is trying to inhibit my free speech. And so if they keep doing and it goes on and on and on and on and on and on, then at some point I can apply for the witness protection program through the local, through the post office or something, or it's through the local FBI, I think.
And all right, well, that may be, but what point does my telling a joke stop being a joke and become a violation of your civil rights?
Well, it's a good question. You're allowed to tell a joke about someone, but once that person's making political comments and you make a joke about that, it becomes a violation of the civil rights of the person when they start to feel, you know, it's on the edge legally, but when they begin to feel unsettled, you know, bad about it and like you're making fun of them, then you're infringing on their. I can make a joke about, say, if you wear a bad shirt or you're ugly or what have you, that's not a violation of the rights. But if I'm talking about politics and you make fun of me, and I feel infringed upon, and I feel like I've been terrorized or what have you, then you're allowed to.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jane. Go ahead, Jane.
I think this man has got a real problem. The problem with our country is we're too happy. This gentleman was in a garage with a bunch of his friends. He said something right off the wall. They laughed at him, and now he wants to sue them. I think both him and his lawyer need a good psychiatrist.
Well, are you an attorney?
Pardon me?
Are you an attorney, ma'am?
No, I'm not.
Well, and my attorney tells me that I'm within my rights because I was making a political comment about Bin Laden. Okay? Then they started to laugh at me. If I was just saying, oh, hey, you know, like Mr. Christopher is a friend of mine who walked on the
limb. I guarantee you, sir, Mr. Christopher's no longer a friend with you if you're suing him because he made a comment in your garage.
Well, I believe
in
my country
first.
And
your wife is a smart one. She didn't even talk to you because she knows it's nuts. What you're doing is nuts.
Ma'am, I believe in my country first, okay? I did not make...
So do I.
Mr. Christopher was born with what they traditionally call, and I don't mean any offense, a hair lip or a cleft palate, and no one, I've never made no joke about it, okay?
Well, good for you.
All right.
I don't think he's going to sue you if you do.
Has he had surgery for it? I'm just curious.
Yeah, he has, but there's a noticeable scar like what the actor Stacy Keach has.
Okay.
I could make fun of his hair lip. What's that again, ma'am? I'm sorry.
You've got a real problem, and it's not your civil rights, sir. I really think you've got a real inferiority complex. And I think you better grow up, and I think you better talk to somebody before you do something else stupid.
No, but the point I'm trying to make to you, and, you know,
there is
fine.
No point. You don't sue people for making comments when you're playing ping pong.
I have never commented on this man's hair lip scar or anything like that.
That has nothing to do with it. You're not even making any sense, sir.
Let me jump in if I can. You've had the good taste not to comment on this man's physical scar. Anybody that makes jokes about things like that is really stooping to the bottom of the barrel, unless, of course, yeah, I like to say, unless, of course, we're talking about how fat Michael Moore is. You know.
Well, I happen to be a great admirer of Mr. Moore, so I find that offensive.
All right, but let's just put that aside. But to say you are not allowed to make fun of me because I'm making a political comment.
See, that's what most people don't understand. The lady is right. If the man had just been talking, you know, about, hey, you know, I think that the Kings are going to win the hockey play, the Super Bowl of hockey or whatever they call it. But when I began bringing up national security issues.
The national security issues is not, if you're not making any sense, sir.
Ma'am,
I'm
no,
sorry.
Yes, I am.
Osama Bin Laden is a comic book character. It's not funny. You're not only insulting our country, you're insulting the men fighting it because they're not fighting Mickey Mouse.
Ma'am, I did
this
not say Mickey
very
Mouse.
Dangerous.
I said Thunderball, Mr. Dr. No, if you've seen these films, and so on and so forth.
It has no relevance. You're making no sense. Your friends laughed at you because they really thought you were kidding. Nobody that has any intellectual
it is
sense
a far,
would
it,
even
it,
listen to you. They'd laugh at you.
It seems to be quite a stretch to say that Osama bin Laden was influenced by...
Why is that, Mr. Henry?
Well,
I mean, the man traveled extensively in Europe. He's from an affluent family. He was exposed to American cinema and British cinema at a very early age. Why wouldn't he at some point have just gone off the deep end and wanted to become, you know, Mr. No or
Dr. No?
Dr. No.
Okay, this guy is serious?
Ma'am,
is he
I want to tell you, I am speaking of political matters, and for you to laugh at me is
I don't know what
violation.
Else to do.
If a
I don't know what else to do. I talk to kindergarten children. That makes more sense than you do, sir.
Ma'am?
I live in the mountains, and I have more sense than you
well,
do.
Well, I happen to be better informed than the average American. If a person is laughed
so.
At, if you laugh at a person for making a political statement, it is like urinating on the American flag. It's like desecrating.
Oh, stop.
No, it's not. Well, first of all,
you need a psychiatrist, sir. Really do.
Ma'am, the
your wife had the right idea. She didn't even comment on it. And for someone to go in their bedroom and cry, how old are you?
I beg your pardon?
Are you old enough to know what you're talking about?
Yes, ma'am. I'm 38 years of age, and I can tell you the person
who
needs
you know what? You're not going to have any friends much longer if you go around suing them because they don't agree with you.
Ma'am, the person who needs a psychiatrist is Mr. No, not me. And
Dr. No?
The gentleman
Mr.
from the...
Why are you having this gentleman on your show? He's wasting valuable air
time.
Well,
he's wasting our court's time with these lawsuits. I appreciate your phone call, Jane. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, ma'am. 1-800-449-8686. It's Dr. No. We're talking with this gentleman. He believes that Osama bin Laden might have been influenced by James Bond villains. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
On the show tonight is Mr. Stephen Bozell, who's filed a lawsuit against five individuals from his neighborhood who were playing ping pong one night. It was a very friendly evening for these gentlemen. And talking about the world events, as many men do when they get together and have a few beers. At one point, Mr. Bozell, if I get any of this wrong, please correct me, Mr. Bozell. But at one point, Mr. Bozell said that he felt that Osama bin Laden might have been influenced by the villains from James Bond movies, and was perhaps that might be a place to start looking for clues as to his whereabouts. He was, according to his lawsuit, laughed at derisively. One of the men said, yeah, and maybe Lex Luthor bombed Pearl Harbor. Another man said, maybe the Riddler killed Kennedy. Before we get to another call, you mentioned an incident from 1992?
Yes, sir. Oh, that's in the court documents, yes, sir.
Tell me about that.
Yes, sir. In 1992, I was talking to a crew chief of mine, a gentleman by the name of Cliff Pettigrew, and I said to him at that time, because I had seen Bill Clinton on the televisions, and he'd been playing saxophone and all of this nonsense. And I said, I wouldn't vote for Bill Clinton. He looks to me, and I said the words, and I don't have them in a recording, and I don't have them wrote down, but I know I said them. And Pettigrew claims I didn't say them, but I know I did. I said to him, Bill Clinton looks like the kind of guy that would have sex with a Waffle House waitress if he thought she had a gold tooth. Now, it sounds funny, but I was serious. And he laughed at me. And he said, Bush needs to be defeated. I'm voting for Bill Clinton. And he laughed at me.
Maybe he was laughing with you. It is kind of funny.
No, he was laughing at me like I was an idiot. Then we found out, yes, he sure did. He had sex with Jennifer Flowers and Monica Lewinsky as well. And if I'd known then what I know now, that I could have taken it. And I was saying something that all of a sudden everybody thought was terrible, and they impeached him for it.
It is a funny comment.
Well, it is, you know.
I mean, to say that he looks like he'd have sex with a Waffle House waitress if she had a gold tooth is a funny comment.
And but he laughed at me, not with me. And there's a difference when they laugh at you. They're laughing because they think you're funny. When they laugh with you, they don't like you. Or no, it's the other way around. When they laugh at you,
When they laugh at you, they're being derisive.
When they laugh with you, yeah. So,
all right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Richard. Richard, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Stephen, all I gotta say is you need to grow up and get a life. You are a lousy father suing your son for, you know, laughing at you. Sir, I am laughing at you derisively. You know,
the word is derisive,
you know? You know, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. You're wasting everybody's time. You're wasting the court's time because somebody laughed at you and you didn't like it and you want to go get the FBI to put you in a protective witness problem. You're an idiot.
Well,
you're a blooming idiot. I don't believe...
Your argument is all name-calling. My argument is based on law.
Your argument is based on idiocy.
I can't sue as a result of someone infringing on my free speech.
You know what? I'll tell you what, pal. If you came after me, I'd go after you and your lawyer. I'd own your house and she'd be disbarred.
Yeah. What are you going to sue me for? What'd I do to you? See?
You know, say if I was one of those guys in your garage.
Oh, they can't touch me because they were on my property when they did it too.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're a loser. You're a loser.
Really?
You're wasting everybody's time.
Okay, fine.
With stuff. Why don't you grow up and get a life?
I care about
my
country.
Why don't you grow up and get a life? I care about my country
that's original.
Too. You're a poor example. You're sending a very poor example to your son.
No, I'm teaching him how to step.
You're setting a very poor example.
I was
you're
in my
an idiot father. You're an idiot husband. And this is not. This is not the way. This is not the way to give your son an example of a man and what men do. You know,
and
you gotta be big enough.
If you want to be sitting there when Bin Laden comes for your wife and kids, you can just sit there and keep on watching TV, I'm
going to
be doing something about it, okay?
Well, you know, we're
guys like you,
about it.
You're the kind of guy that'll sit there and score right through a home invasion
because
burglary.
You don't like what they said.
Yeah, you know
you're
what you do?
You're going to sue somebody because you don't like what they said.
You want to throw
That's
down?
That's a very immature... Very immature attitude. You need to grow up, pal.
I wouldn't
you need
be
get a life.
I wouldn't be talking smack to a man who's, you know, I sound like I'm probably younger than you.
Yeah, I'm 59.
Yeah, well, you want to throw down with me, that's fine.
you know, you're an idiot.
I'm an idiot.
You know what?
Yeah. I bet you say that word. You know how to spell it.
You know, everybody's laughing at you on the air.
Hey,
we're
no,
all
they're
laughing
at me
you.
Off the air. I'm the one that's on the air. They're laughing at me off the air. I'm laughing at you on the air.
I'm laughing at you on the air.
Yeah, but they're laughing at me off the air, not on the air.
Huh?
What are you talking about? They're laughing at me on the air. They're not on the air.
Everybody's listening to you and laughing. They're saying, what an idiot.
But that shows
what an
you're
idiot.
An idiot.
You know,
okay,
you're crazy. Why don't you do something with your life?
Okay, gentlemen.
No, he's an idiot.
No. Just listen, it's name-calling, okay?
Look, I was in my workshop working on a magazine rack I was making out of balsa with my wife, April, with a Freddy Krueger mask come on up behind me, and she goes, I'm the Al-Qaeda, ooh, like that, making fun of me all the while.
So what, are you going to sue your wife, too?
When I care about my
country... Are you going to sue your wife, too? You're suing your son. Why don't you sue your wife?
Would you sue your wife for that, sir?
Why don't you sue your wife? You're suing your son. Why don't you sue your wife, too?
Would you sue your wife, Mr. Bozell?
I will discuss it with my lawyer, yes, sir.
Oh, man.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. You're a loser. I don't know what else to say.
I don't have the right to discuss with my wife. Okay.
No. Are you going to sue your wife?
I want to discuss with
my Are you going to sue your wife for coming up behind you in a Freddy Krueger mask?
I will at least check out my rights.
This guy is unbelievable. unbelievable.
Mr. Henry.
I mean,
you want to laugh at me. You know something here. Okay, listen to this. Both of you gentlemen can go spinning on a spit in hell.
Oh, he hung up.
He hung up, yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you what. You know, with everything that's going on in this world today, and we certainly
don't need people getting their feelings hurt. I mean, it's one thing to get your feelings hurt. You want to sue and go into witness protection?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Get a grip.
Wait a minute. Hold on for a minute.
That guy needs some professional help.
How come this gentleman's still on the air and I'm not?
You hung up on me.
Both of you can rot.
Is he gone?
Yeah,
what happened?
He's gone again. And I'm hearing crickets in a campfire.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what?
Hey, listen, I don't want to talk to this guy. Mr. Bozell?
Yeah, my own mother, Joyce Bozell, phoned on my cell phone and said, hey, Steve, this is Saddam Hussein. Bite me.
You going to sue him, too?
Why am I hearing crickets in a campfire?
I'm sorry?
Why am I hearing crickets in a campfire?
Because I want to be by myself. I've been laughed at and laughed at.
Well, you know, the way that you act, it's no wonder that nobody wants to be with you.
I don't want to be with them. That's why I'm out here having a campfire.
You know, your son sure doesn't want to be with you.
All right, listen, Richard, thank you very much. You want to be alone, so you're out having a campfire.
Everyone's laughing at me, yeah.
But why'd you call my show?
I wanted to be alone, but I also wanted to talk, you know, to talk to someone, but not have them laugh right at me.
What you cooking on the campfire?
with my burger. What is that?
I didn't hear anything.
Oh, okay, very funny. Okay. Why don't you kiss my bright red rosy, huh?
Hey, Mr. Bozell, I can still hear your campfire. Mr. Bozell? I can still hear your campfire, man, where you're trying to be alone, huh?
Shut up.
Now, come on, man. I'm fooling around.
Quit it. All you people out.
Hey, Steve.
What?
You figure Bin Laden lives in cage because he wants to be Batman?
You could kiss the devil's private area.
Bin Laden's living in caves because he thinks he's Batman. That's why he's living in caves. Mr. Bozell will sue. And now he's checking his rights with his attorney, Dolores Blazengame, to see if he can sue his wife because she snuck up behind him in a Freddy Krueger mask and said, I'm Saddam Hussein, booga booga, whatever. All right, 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
It's going to take a pretty significantly large pair to sue me.
One 800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I was just checking out the villains from the James Bond movies to see exactly what it could be that Mr. Bozell is referring to. Is Osama bin Laden trying to be Dr. No, Red Grant, Arik Goldfinger, or Emilio Largo? I mean, you know who these guys? These were the big guy. The guy from Thunderball was a special agent for Spectre. That was it. Remember Spectre? Alan Spectre. And then there was Ernst Stavro Blofeld. Oh, cool. Yeah, that was the guy who was the bad dude in Dr. No. And he was a bald guy played by Donald Pleasence. Donald Pleasence, I don't think he's still alive, is one of the greatest actors to have ever lived. The guy was a psycho. He played these psychos to the T. Sort of a neurotic, bald-headed, fidgeting, nervous guy that you never trusted, and sure enough, he would stick a shank in your back the minute you turned your face on him, right? Except he did play a good guy in The Great Escape. In The Great Escape, he played, was he the mole? He was one of the guys that was going blind, and it was his job to make counterfeit money. He was a master counterfeiter, but the problem was he was as blind as a bat. But he made fantastic documents for the guys in the prisoner of war camp so that he would dummy up German passports and ID cards and...
I'd like some tea, that's all I require, really. Just a cup of tea, please.
And he had that kind of nervous face. What a fantastic actor. He was just a lot of fun to watch. He also played the doctor in at least the early Halloween pictures, the one that tried to keep Michael Myers committed. Hoo-hoo!
I spent the first 7 years of Michael Myers' life trying to get to him, and the next 7 trying to keep him locked up.
And then I think he's the guy that shoots Michael in the first movie, and of course, Michael Myers comes back to life. At what point do you just give up? Okay, go ahead, kill me, slaughter me. Obviously, I can't do anything to you. Dun, dun, dun. Halloween 81. Michael Myers. Oh, yeah. Halloween 82. Michael Myers. What's up? Halloween... Yeah, at what point you just, go ahead, carve me up, man. What do you want to put a hypodermic needle in my eyeball? Whatever you got to do, I can't kill you. Kill me. And plus, at what point does a cat like that take over the world? Wait a second, that's who Osama bin Laden is. Michael Myers from the Halloween movies. Can't kill him. Can't do jack squat to this guy. Burn him. Shoot him. Hack him to bits. Drown him. Blow him up. Get Star Jones the... Nothing will kill him. Okay, it's time now for our flashback from our show last night. Carl Misla, a writer for the London Standard, was on to talk about Mary-Kate Olsen and her anorexia and how this is a horrific disease brought on by the Bush administration's policies in Iraq. In fact, Mr. Misla's own daughter has anorexia. He knows she got it just to spite him because she could be one hell of a J.C. Penney catalog model.
Anyway, she's on an IV, and he doesn't understand why she has anorexia, other than the fact that he kept telling her she looks like a pig and eats like a cow. Here's Charles Misla from our show yesterday.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm having a really hard time understanding why you think that you can treat child of any age with disrespect the way that you treat your child.
Karen, I don't come from a touchy-feely generation. I come from a hard generation of Brits.
Well, okay, right. That's fine. But you know what? I have an 11-year-old that did modeling from the age of 2 to the age of 7. You know, I let her eat just about anything that she wants.
Oh, my God.
Now, stop and listen to me. My daughter is 5 feet tall and weighs 63 pounds. She is very small for her, you know, very thin. But you know what? She plays sports, and she takes care of herself. She'll go out and she'll ride her bike. You cannot sit there and tell a child.
Wait, you're saying your daughter is a dwarf?
No, she is 5 feet tall.
Well, she's a dwarf then, technically.
No, how old is she, Karen?
She just turned 11.
Oh, she's only 11.
She's only 11.
No, I would have it checked for dwarfism, and I don't want to alarm you.
What do you mean dwarfism?
And she's been told she will be 5'10" by the time she's done growing.
All right, can I ask you a question then? One parent to another. What do you do when you walk in, you see your daughter sitting there with a bowl of chili, and she's had the unmitigated gall to grate cheese over the top of it, right? And she's also got the tortilla chips.
Well, you say, you know what, let's go outside and do something. Let's go ride a bike. You don't sit there and drip at them and tell them that they're disgusting, they look like a sow, and they look like a cow. You know, I mean, that's what makes a child do what your child has done. I mean, that's just gross. I mean,
no, wait a minute, Karen. You sound like you're about to cry. And you've got a child that could be a dwarf. Cry for yourself, not for me.
Oh, come on. The lady said her daughter's 11 years of age. She's a little girl.
Does she have the puffy hands?
No.
She may have dwarfism, and dwarfism is certainly nothing you want to mess with. Now, there are hormones.
Well, you forget about whether her daughter has dwarfism or not, and let's talk about the real issue here, the anorexia, and the fact that you might have probably brought it on in your own daughter by calling her a sow and a pig because the little girl wants to have a milkshake every now and again.
I gave up a lot of my career. I'm running around the country. I'm in an airport terminal right now. I've got to fly off to interview some hillbilly in the Sierra Nevadas who has got some idea for a movie. Can I ask you a question, Karen?
Yes.
What does your daughter sound like when she speaks? Are you all right?
Yeah.
Did I upset you?
No, I mean, I'm fine. I'm just... You know, I just have a really hard time with someone that can sit there and,
well,
basically, you brought it on yourself.
If you've got a 32-year-old daughter the size that's 5 feet tall, I think there might be dwarfism.
She's 11.
I'm sorry, I thought you said she was 32.
No, my daughter is 11 years. She just turned 11.
Well, then that's perfectly normal. Why are you complaining about how big she is? At least your daughter's not a pig like mine, you know.
Your daughter's the way she is because of the way you are.
You got daughter with anorexia with a tube in her nose, right?
Get your daughter out and let her play sport.
Well, she got, when I walk into that hotel room and she gives her the hospital room and she gives me the wink like, I'll show you, you piece of...
Well, she's probably really disgusted with you. Because you know what? If I was in that position, I'd probably give you the same look. Because you are disgusting. I don't care how hard you are and how hard your life was and how you were brought up. That is just plain disgusting to be able to look at someone and tell them, you're a cow. Now, I'm over 6 feet tall myself and only weigh 125 pounds. My daughter is not ever going to be fat. You know, and you need to stop.
You're 6 feet tall, and you weigh how much, dear?
She says...
Almost 125 pounds.
Really? Well, you must be a knockout. You must be a bloody knockout. I'm trying to be respectful, but you must be a bloody knockout.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
There he is, Carl Misla. He's our favorite insulting, sarcastic British journalist. Talking about that girl... She must have dwarfism. 1-800-449-8686. There's more to come on the Phil Hendry Show. We've got our mailbag tonight again. We got a follow-up with Don Parsley on what's been happening with him ever since we had him on the show last. And hey, guess what? It may be legal to eat peyote in Utah. It's the Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil.